Hello and welcome back to your one and only source. We're your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
And my name is Caroline. And today we're going to be gabbing. We're going to be capital G gabbing about all kinds of things. But one thing that I have to say before we get started is happy National Goof Off Day. Have you heard?
Thank you. No, I haven't heard. But
you didn't
I'm
hear about National Goof Off
me.
Day? Phoebe,
no,
it's a day that I expected you to be
goofs.
Prepping for literally
no,
weeks.
I think it's just you. I think it's just you.
Phoebe, it's not. I saw it on Twitter.
No, I'm saying that between the two of us, you're the one who, this is your day.
This is Phoebe admitting she has no personality on pod. Did you guys hear that? Like, I was going to let you participate in National Goof Off Day if you wanted to. Here you are saying it's not for me. Since when? I can think of multiple times that you treated a regular old day like it was National Goof Off Day. But guess what? Those are regular old days.
Do you think they always put it on a Sunday? So that someone doesn't go to work and they're like, well, today's National Goof Off Day. I can do whatever the heck I want.
I kind of think that the goofs in charge of National Goof Off Day are not concerned with how you participate at work.
They're probably
pretty
upset.
They would make sure April Fool's Day was not on a Wednesday. What?
They're probably pretty upset it's on a Sunday then.
They probably are, except for that more free time.
The people at Big Goof.
People at Big Goof are probably upset about it being on falling on a Sunday this year, which of course happens from time to time. But what I will also say is that the people at Big Goof are probably like, okay, let's, how can crisis management, let's just make sure people know they have a full 24 hours to be goofing. Like sometimes, like, it's still National Goof Off Day. You have work. You still have to go to work to even goof off. Like, you know what I mean? You can't celebrate National Goof Off Day if you work from home as much. If I'm in office, I can be so goofy. But like, you know, and even if I'm not, but it's just, the point is, if you have something to do, like, the people at Big Goof don't condone you like skirting all your responsibilities for Goof Off Day. Like, you have to make them both work. It's called balance.
Right. That's true.
I fear there are some goofs who think they're real goofs, but they don't know balance. And it's like,
they're actually just menaces.
And that's what we call a menace to society. Are you a goof or are you a menace?
Or a menace.
That makes me think of The Wizard of Oz, which I'm fully in the land of Oz right now. So I'm in the merry old land. Don't ask me to not be. I am in the merry old land. However.
Are you a good witch or a bad witch?
Are you a good goof or a menace? You know what I mean? Like, that's maybe the question we should be asking. Hey, Glenda, maybe that's the question we should be asking. Can I say something about the merry old land? I was like, you know what? This whole show, old as the hills. Like are the caveman ancestors knew about Wizard of Oz, okay?
But not as old as... It does put into perspective how old, like, other things are, you know?
Do tell.
Like, the story feels so old. Like, think about how old, like...
They didn't even have phones.
The original
They
plays
didn't
are.
Have an alert on their phone for the tornado. Like, how much older does it get?
No, but I mean, like it does feel so long ago, but, like, all these stories are so... Romeo and Juliet.
Well, that's famously one of the oldest.
All the Greek. Like, wait, that's actually... You know the scene in Hamlet when Shakespeare's telling the story of Eurydice and... Orpheus, it's like, oh my god, wait, that story was even old to them.
Oh my god.
And yeah. We're still telling that story.
Let's talk about Lysistrata. Let's talk about the Peloponnesian War. Let's talk about all the women who withheld sex because they said, the only way I know how to stop this war is to stop fucking my man. And guess what? It worked. And so that's the power of women, okay?
It's pretty electric.
It's kind of, and like, they were telling stories like that way back when. Oh my god. God, I mean,
and then we like get to the 1900s, and it's like, if you acknowledge that women can have sex, it's like
how
the devil's
you?
Play.
Which, let's write the Crucible, and then they write the Crucible. I'm sorry, Arthur Miller, you're married to Marilyn Monroe, and you're writing the Crucible. Stop acting like you're not sex pause. You know what I mean? You're married to Marilyn.
Isn't
Monroe.
That a sex positive play?
No,
but it's not like it
Blair
was
Waldorf
a commentary-
would have killed as Abigail in the Crucible. Oh, I wish
That's
there was an episode
true.
Where she was cast in the Crucible.
Especially
Abigail.
After this week's
said,
episode.
You loved me, John Proctor. And whatever sin it is, you love me still. I know how you clutched my back at night behind the barn. Did I dream that? Or did I dream that?
No, that's Blair.
That is Blair. And then she goes, and she says, she's telling lies about me, John. She is blackening my name in the town. She taught me the covenant of these Christian women, and now she bid me tear the light from my eyes. I will not. I can't.
Wait, guys, it's literally like low-key this week's episode.
No,
of
literally. Literally. Like,
my goodness.
She
anyway.
Is a, what did she say? She's a hateful woman, and you bend to her. I look for the John Proctor that took me out of my bed at night and put light in my eyes.
Sorry, Arthur Miller popped off.
I mean, popped off. Popped off. And yes, that was the first monologue I did in college. Yes.
Well, it's shocking. Caroline would be Abigail. Oh, my goodness.
Well, it was a real bummer because Peter did get to direct Crucible, and he was like, all right, Abigail, Abby. And I was like, yes. And then, like, I got a show where I got paid, and I was like, sorry, Pete, good luck. But I never got to play Abigail, and now I never will. Unless.
Yeah, so,
actually,
and that's a lesson
that's
to
so
everybody.
Not true. Money, I look young as fuck.
Hey guys, money isn't everything.
Money isn't everything.
So maybe Caroline should have, like, I don't know, taken one for the team.
Take your dream roles, you know what I mean? But Blair Waldorf, Abby Spencer. I don't actually think her last name is Spencer. I don't know why I just said that. But actually, Abigail Spencer is an actress. That's an actress out there. Who?
Anyway, you're in the merry old land.
I'm in the merry old land. I'm so there. And I'm choreographing all these. And it's like the jitterbug. It's like, well, what else are you going to do but jitter? You know what I mean? What else are you going to do but jitterbug with that choreography? You know? And then I got Munchkin Land. I got a bunch of little twerps running around. They're really good. But I gave them some fun choreo. But, like, you know, whatever. But then, merry old land, I was like, get this. First number in Act Two, we just opened the gates of the Emerald City. We're meeting these people. These are city folk. They're a little bit different than the Munchkins. Like, they're not like every old Aussiean. Like, we're urban here, okay? This is more of an urban center of the world.
Well, guys, just put yourself in Wicked.
Put yourself in Wicked. Those people aren't doing the jitterbug. You know what I mean? So I was like, okay, country, merry old land, say less. And so
you're doing full-on cabaret.
Not kidding you. It's like Fosse vibes. I was like, hey, director, are you cool with this? Like, because I wanted to feel like a totally different world. I wanted to feel like we've been in Act One. We've been in Kansas. We have been in Munchkin Land. We have followed that damn yellow brick road as far as it could take us. We went through the poppy field. We're in the Emerald City. Things are diff here. It's under lock and key. And if you get in, you're like, okay, makeover time. Literally, lyrics of Merry Old Land, get this. They say, we get up at 12 and start to work at 1. Take an hour for lunch, and then at 2, we're done. Jolly good fun. Tell me about it.
Hey.
I was like, you guys are not working hard. Like, you guys just don't want to work. Get your fucking ass up and work.
How can I get a visa to live there?
How can I get there? You literally don't work one single
visa. Can I get a work visa
for the Emerald Land of Oz? please, for the Emerald City. And then we get a makeover scene, which is famously, like, one of my favorite things in the whole world. And that's their only work that they're doing that day is the makeover. You know what I mean? So they divide.
So they
got to
keep.
That.
They got to keep bringing in Uggos like Judy Garland,
like Dorothy. They got to keep on bringing in Uggos like Dorothy Gale
and Toto,
the famous Uggo.
Doesn't Toto come out with a bow?
We had our first rehearsal with our live dog yesterday, and it was so funny because I'm talking to Patrick on a break.
Or she.
His name is Romeo, and he is good, but he's young. He's young. He's green. He's only one. So he hasn't, like, lost his puppy instincts yet. So there's a little bit of yapping. But once he was on stage, it was like, okay. I was like,
he was like,
he
wait.
Felt the stage lights on him. He was
wait, this is home. Wait, this is home for me.
Wait, I clicked my heels 3 times and here we
later on, after the show's wrapped and he's back at home, his owner, like, sees him trying to, like, click his heels 3 times. And he's like, well, if you watch,
it's
if
like
you listen.
We have to go to the vet.
If you listen to the show, if I click my heels 3 times, I'll end up
home.
Back at home.
And let's talk
and
about home.
For me is under the warmth of a stage light.
Under those warm lights, hearing the applause. That's home. That's home if I ever heard of it. Yeah, no, I know. But, like, honestly, Merry Old Land is such a, like, like, cunty song. Like, ha, 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 ho, 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 and a couple of tra-la-las. That's how we left the day away in the Merry Old Land of Oz. Bah! And it's very, like, it's Fosse. I told them, I was like, you don't work all day, but you serve. Okay? Right. Like, you might not work all day, but you know how to eat. And that's what this number is. Okay? So anyway, come see Wizard of Oz. But what I was really going to say about all of that, I started talking about the stage dog. Oh, during the break, I was talking to the director, and I was like, God, I'm just so glad, like, either this or a stuffed animal, because I hate when people are dressed up as animals on stage. I hate it. And he was like, then you are going to hate what I just added into the show. And during the tornado scene, he has one of the little munchkins wearing a cow costume and running across the stage saying moo.
I'm like, that's funny. That's fine.
You were not meant to take it seriously. Like, it's not a human boy dressed as Sandy and Annie singing. Like, that totally takes me out of it.
It's different when it's like a character.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, this is a gag moment. I love a gag. It's National Goof Off Day. I'm all in on that. You know what I mean? That is.
But ask me again next goof. Sunday. Ask me again next Sunday.
I might feel differently. Just kidding. Anywho, so that's me. What's up, B?
Not much. I've just recovered from a bachelorette party last weekend. Guys, the airlines are no joke right now. Or they weren't last
airlines
week.
Airlines do not want you up there. And no. Listen.
What are they trying to keep from us?
Happy to stay on the ground. If you don't want me up there, I certainly don't want me up there. I'll tell you that much.
So I did the brave thing and stayed in last night because I was like, I just can't do it. I just can't go to the tavern tonight.
That bachelorette party really took it out of you.
Did. And I got my period.
Podcast party girl.
So that didn't help. Anyway.
And you what?
And I got my period.
Oh my God. I wanted you to say it again. By the way, that's an Easter egg for Thursday's episode.
Yeah, that's
getting
true,
your period
guys.
Is an Easter
marked
egg
safe.
For Thursday's gossip
marked
safe from being
I watched a little bit of Pretty Little Liars on Friday, and I do just like, Caroline, I just need you to like watch a couple episodes here and there, not so we can talk about it, but just like, and you need to watch it like with Anthony so that you can. The jokes, Caroline, just roll. Like, it is like I am like, it's like
you're
watching.
You're like digging deeper every time. You're like,
it's like watching Tom Brady play flag football. It's like the way that you can see that he's like right back in his movements of how he used to play real football is how I feel when I'm watching Pretty Little Liars with other people. And I'm like, the jokes just, they just start coming
like, and they literally don't stop coming.
We watched the Murder Train episode and, you know, the scene where Arya is, we have our classic line. Well, that, I'm getting to that scene, but I just remembered when they're in the brew before they all leave and Hannah comes up to Arya and she's like, oh my God, who are you for Halloween? And she's like, Daisy from
Reed
The
Much?
Great Gatsby. And Hannah says, oh, like from the movie or the book? And Arya says, the book.
Arya's like, I didn't even know there was a movie.
And then I did love Spencer comes up to the group and she goes, Hannah's dressed as Marilyn Monroe. Spencer is dressed
Best
as
pause.
Bonnie.
We love it.
Of course, Bonnie from Bonnie and Clyde. Because, you know, you know how to whistle, don't you?
Bonnie
that weird line that
Clyde.
She has with
which also,
she
that's an Easter egg for some point in Gossip Girl.
She walks up to the group and she says, Hannah, how could you possibly think we were going to dress as the same thing? Which
like,
I also love the idea.
Slutty like you. Why did you think that?
I like the idea that Hannah knew she was going as Marilyn Monroe and thought there was a chance that Spencer was also going
she
as Marilyn Monroe.
She found a wig. She like saw in Spencer's Amazon Amazon package that wasn't wrapped, as they do sometimes now, which, by the way, is not doing that. And it was just a blonde wig. And she was like, great, we're going to have the same costume. But actually, her first plan was that she was going to be fucking Dee Dee from Dexter's Lab and Toby was going to be Dexter. And then she decided to actually go as Bonnie and Clyde because Toby was like, I'm not going to be your brother.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be your brother on Halloween, Spence. That's crazy.
Anyway, Arya is sitting on the train and Adam Lambert comes up to her and she's like sitting alone, dying for someone to come up to her.
Yes.
Like she is truly
so
sitting
that she
there.
Can tell them she's having a moment to herself. Thanks.
Or even better. He says, who are you here with? And she's like, as soon as she can possibly bring up the fact that she has a boyfriend, she does. She says, oh, well, my boyfriend, he couldn't come tonight.
She's like, hey, Taken. Don't get any ideas.
To Adam Lambert, who's fully in
Lambert.
Eyeliner and glitter and vampire fangs. It's like, okay. And then she's like, my name is,
I actually have a performance coming up, I think. It's not scheduled yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if I get called in. So I don't want to yell. And whispering is actually worse for the voice. Do you mind if I just write it on the window?
So she writes it on the window. And then he goes, and then Adam Lambert speaking just fine. We can hear him just fine. Like, he goes, Arya. Suits like, you. And right then, it's Arya's dream night. She got to bring up her mysterious boyfriend. And someone told her that her name suits her.
Yeah. And she's like, oh my God, you pronounced that perfectly. She's like, nobody ever gets it right on the first try. She's like, you must be a vocalist too. Huh. You've heard of an aria before? It was named after like an aria, like the form.
Like the anyway, form. I just, watching it is just truly, it feels like watching old like game tape back of us.
Aww. We weren't in that show, but we kind of were. I mean, honestly, though, I watched this episode of Gossip Girl that we're doing this week. Like, I watched it so long ago, I feel like. And then I was like, I should just rewatch it so that I can refresh it. And so the other night in bed, I was like, turned it on. And I was like, I texted Phoebe. I was like, this is such an argument for like watching the show without taking notes too, because you fucking see so much that you miss. And even after me just taking notes on it and watching it again, I was like, I kind of felt like that, like the way you're describing, where I was just like, oh my God, because I was predicting the goofing that we were going to be doing about this episode. And there are just some moments that it's like, if I look down at my computer for a second to take a note, I might miss that eyebrow arch. And I don't want to miss that eyebrow arch. So I really should go back and watch some of Pretty Little Liars. But honestly and famously, I'm busy. So that's the thing right now is I'm busy. I'm actually doing a really big thing this week on Wednesday, but I don't want to curse it. So I'm not going to say what it is.
Okay, but don't.
Can you guess?
No, because then I'm going to have to take it out. We'll talk about
it. No, but like,
after.
Can you guess in your head? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh. No, I don't think so.
I'm doing this really big thing where I'm changing my location.
Oh, yeah.
And
of course.
And that change could be official this week.
Right.
Will be, but.
Yes.
If I get struck by lightning, then I don't know how that affects
and
it.
And if there is anything that could possibly go wrong this week, my money is on that.
Being struck by lightning. The weather is changing fast around here. Okay, let me just say it.
It is. It got, I mean, I'm not out there, but it got really
hot
this week.
Stop pretending you live here in your Steelers cap.
My Steelers cap.
Yes, your Steelers cap. Stop pretending that you live here.
I hope everybody's picturing that I'm in like a newsboy's cap that's black and gold.
Like the one Chuck is wearing in this week's episode of Gossip Girl. Well, it's not black and gold, but he is wearing a cap for some reason. And I hate that reason.
So that's what I did Friday. And then Saturday, I had a double feature. Of course, it's pretty much all I do on Saturdays.
By the way, we're going to see Project Hail Mary tonight in IMAX.
Good. I literally just booked an IMAX viewing of it for next week. Because I watched it. So yesterday I saw Ready or Not 2. And I really liked it. I had a blast watching it. The crowd was really fun. Like, everybody was laughing out loud.
It's
which
funny because
I
like,
always love.
Do you remember feeling particularly fond of the first one? Like, I didn't watch it.
Oh. I thought that it was about vampires, and here's a confession.
It's very similar to that one movie that is about vampires.
And I think she's in it. I think it's
the
same girl.
She might be the girl, yeah.
Maybe that's why I thought. But I do feel like I have a bit of a bias about vampires in film. Like, I don't, like, with Sinners, when the trailers first started coming out for it and I realized it was a vampire movie, I was not interested. I almost didn't want to go see it.
Yeah, no, I understand.
I talked myself out of it, and I did see it opening weekend, and obviously now it's like probably top 10 favorite movies.
Yeah.
But,
it
was the same thing with this movie. I was like, I remember feeling that way when the trailers for the other one came out, because I thought that the family was like a vampire family. And I just was like, that's just not really.
They're just a crime family.
But it's actually so much better and actually scarier, because it's a little, especially with everything that's happening in this world that we're learning about. It's like,
you're like, oh, people like this are real.
Yeah. There's this scene in the beginning where the person who's in charge of like the whole world, that he's watching the news and he picks up his phone and he says, approve the ceasefire. And within 1 second, the news headline is ceasefire approved. And it's just like, I just feel like maybe that is truer than we think. And that's troublesome. Anyway, so But this, it was really good. I think the actor and the other actor looks like the girl from We Were Liars, but isn't her.
Yes.
It's a different person. But she, I thought they were both pretty good. Sarah Michelle Gellar. The way I put it when I decided to go see this as the first movie I saw yesterday was, if Sarah Michelle Gellar picks up a script and decides to do it, it's worth seeing.
It's worth seeing.
Because it's going to be fun. It's not that it's going to be the greatest movie you've ever seen, but it's going to be super fun and enjoyable.
Like, she'll be fun to watch no matter what.
It was a blast. And then I saw Project Hail Mary and Dolby Atmos, which I'm really curious to see how because I haven't seen a movie in IMAX in a really long time.
I don't know the last
because my IMAX theater is a little bit farther away from the theater that I go to. AMC wise, there's one a little bit closer, but it's a Regal, and I'm just like, anyway, it doesn't have reclining seats, which will be a struggle, but it's a really big screen, and the reviews are pretty, it has the laser, so I'm excited. Anyway, I saw it in Dolby Atmos yesterday, so I'm curious to see which one I think is more enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. Loved it.
Oh, this is another movie I was almost like, I don't think I'm going to see it because I don't like space movies.
Okay, you need help, first of all. Also, I don't believe anything you say ever because you're like, and these are two movies I won't be seeing because I don't like vampires and I don't like space. And then she sees them on the same day. Double feature. Okay. Okay, anyway. I mean, never to believe a word that comes out of your mouth.
I decided about a week ago that I was going to go see it. Because... Okay. I could have told you
that you were going to go see it.
Well, I knew
the biggest movie out right now,
I would end up. It's the second biggest non-franchise opening weekend since Oppenheimer.
One of the things that's really cool about it is like there's no AI.
It's all practical.
Like, it's all practical. They did it's not even like CGI, is it?
I don't think there's not one green screen in the entire movie.
Which is like
they
insane.
They built the rocket ship, and then they also, Rocky is fully a puppet.
Yeah, wow.
And something I found out that was super sweet is Ryan Gosling would have his daughters come in and read for Rocky instead of like someone off screen. So like he was like, some of the way that I'm reacting
is
might
to his
seem
daughters.
A little bit more like I might be laughing a little bit more. And it's because I'm reacting to my kids saying those lines. Anyway,
kind of unprofessional,
so cute.
But very cute. Well, I also have been loving his press for this and the fact that he's, so not worried about promoting this. Like, he has the one interview with the guy whose bus broke down, and he doesn't want to talk about the movie one single. Like, did you see that interview?
I don't think so.
Oh, my God, Phoebe, this is so funny. Okay, so this guy has a scheduled interview with Ryan Gosling, and he was on vacation in the Grand Canyon, and he had, gone on a huge, there's, a big tour bus tour, and they drove through the Grand Canyon. The bus breaks down and they are trapped out of the Grand Canyon, and he can't get back for the interview. And it was supposed to be virtual anyway, but he joins the call from his phone in the middle of the Grand Canyon.
Oh my God.
And he acts like nothing happened. Like, he's like, hey, like whatever. And Ryan's like, the whole time Ryan's like,
are you on Mars?
Literally looking at him, and he's like, hey, where are you? And the guy's like, I was on a tour of the Grand Canyon on a bus. Our bus broke down. Like, it's all fine, but I wasn't going to miss this. And he's like, are you okay? And the guy's like, yeah, no, we're good. He's like, okay. And then the guy starts talking more, and he's like, do you guys have water? Like, do you have water for everybody? Like, and he's like, can I see the bus? And, this is the guy's trying to proceed with the interview as scheduled.
It's so funny.
He's being so Hail Mary, and Ryan's like, hang on, can I see the bus? And he turns the camera around and shows the bus with all these people outside of it and then he's like, okay. And then the guy starts asking a question. He's like, who's holding the phone? And he's like, oh, my girlfriend. He's like, let's see her. And so she turns the phone around. She's like, hi, Ryan Gosling. And he's like, hey. And literally by the end of it, he's like, hey, I don't feel good about this. I just kind of want you to go back and is help on the way. And he literally will not, they don't talk about the movie at all. The whole
That's
time he's
so
like
awesome,
asking follow-up questions about what's going on. But he was just so concerned about this that he didn't want to talk about the movie. Then I'm also the fact that he hosted SNL the week before Harry Styles was hosting SNL, and he was totally fine with his entire monologue being about Harry Styles rather than about his movie. He was just Like, I was like, that is one hell of a secure-ass man. You know what I mean? Like, the fact he... I don't think a lot of hosts would have been like, yeah, let's invite the biggest star to come sit in the audience. Yeah. And I'm sure the focus will still be on me. Like, but he just, like, does... He's... And that's... I just love that about him. I just feel like he was, like, not...
He's really likable.
Then, like, the Jeopardy game or whatever he did. Like, he's just... He's just such a good fucking guy. I just want to support him in everything he does.
It was... I mean, one of the best movies I think I've ever seen, probably in theaters. It was so good, so, like, beautiful and funny. And also, they did a good job of, like, I think we have an, I think there was actually recently a sketch about this on SNL that was, like, we feel the need, a lot of writers feel the need to dumb everything down. And, like, explain something a million times.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the way Pretty Little Liars will write sometimes to be like, oh, weren't you supposed to be doing this at this place with this person?
Right.
Just so you can spell it all out. And this movie does a really good job of not assuming that the audience is stupid.
I love
that. With all the science. Like, the science is obviously way above my pay grade, but I was able to understand what the mission was and how it worked and everything like
You're
that.
You're like, I could go on the mission tomorrow if I had to. Like, I feel
it
like
was
I pretty
such
much got
a...
it.
Moving movie. Ryan Gosling's so hot in it. His hair is like, and he's wearing these glasses. He's like so good looking in this
movie. The truth
is,
I don't know what it's about.
Basically, the sun, the Earth's sun is dying, and they realize that there's something happening to all the stars. Like, all the stars are fading. It's not just the sun. But then they see that there's one planet that's actually not dying. Like, their sun is not decaying. So they want to send all these astronauts, or, like, three astronauts to that planet to try to figure out what is going on in that planet's atmosphere that's not, that's able to kill the thing that is killing everything else. And so Ryan Gosling's a school teacher, and they come at, he like wrote a thesis. He's a doctor, but he's a school teacher. He wrote a thesis a long time ago. Then they were like, this could maybe be helpful. And he makes a bunch of discoveries that gets him in all these rooms. Anyway, I won't spoil too much more, but.
Yeah, shut the fuck up.
But it's just like, it's such a beautiful, and I mean, I put this on my letterbox. I'm going to stay it right now into existence. I don't know what else is supposed to come out. It's a really big year for movies this year.
However, is March 22nd. Phoebe has decided what's winning Best Picture.
I'm ready to say. No, not... Well, it is definitely going to be contender for Best Picture. But I think Ryan Gosling could win Best Actor.
Did he win acting?
I don't think he did, but he was nominated.
Okay. Which is crazy, by the
way. And he was also nominated for La La Land. I don't think he's ever won, though.
Let's look. I'm going to look it up.
But he's essentially acting with himself this entire time in the way that he's able to make the audience feel about his relationship with this.
He is not one.
Rock who doesn't have a face. Like, the emotions that it's able to bring out in the audience is, I mean, that's to me what makes a really impressive performance. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily, and not, listen, we were Jessie Buckley stans. We wanted her to win.
Oh.
But I think, yeah. Sometimes it's easier to look at those performances and say, like, that's a Best Actress performance.
Yeah.
And sometimes the more subtle performances are just as impactful, but they don't get the same credit. And that's kind of how I felt about this. He has some big moments, but also just, like, the feeling of, like, the way that he feels about the world, I think will speak to the way a lot of us feel about the world now, but then you leave the movie feeling so hopeful and like reinvigorated about humanity. It feels like it was such a good movie.
I could use some of that,
and I will be seeing it again next week.
Okay.
And it didn't even really feel like 2.5 hours. I didn't check my phone once, but the girl next to me did.
How next to you was she?
Let me tell you. So I bought my ticket a week ago, like I said, and in our Dolby Atmos theater, the top back rows have like 7 seats. So I always get the middle one if I'm going to sit back there.
Okay.
Assuming they'll see one person sitting alone up there, those are the least likely seats. They won't go for those seats first. Because it's weird to be up there with someone.
You ever seen me not in the middle row, middle seat in a 7-row place? That's weird.
And so then, like, the whole week, things are going off without a hitch. The theater is filling up, but no one's taking seats next to me. Friday
night,
I checked.
You say the whole week? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was checking the whole week.
I thought you meant, like, you're sitting in there.
No. Imagine.
The whole week's gone by.
The theater, the people are like, hey, ma'am, do you have a ticket to the showing? I'm like, does it matter?
Like, I have a ticket to a showing.
Exactly.
Just warming my seat.
The seats do have seat warmers, can you believe?
Nice. But I don't like to be hot in the movies, so.
Yeah, but well, you can turn them off.
Well, what if I don't know how? That's I've sat in seats with seat warmers. I can't figure them out, okay?
These ones you'd be able to. I promise. Dark. Anyway, on Friday, it has a light on it.
Shut up. Phoebe, shut up about it.
On Friday night, I see that two people have taken the seats to the left of me. Not like there's a seat between me and them.
Okay.
Seats, which is like, okay, I was like annoying, but fine. Then two other people took the other. So there's still seats between us.
Phoebe's like planning this out as though she's going to commit a crime. You know what I mean? Like checking every night, like figuring out like what are the odds that somebody sits in my vicinity? Like you literally are acting like you have been hired for a hit job and you are doing, making sure.
Anyway,
all off
well, this is why I need to think about these kinds of things, because this couple gets here. The two girls that sat next to me to my right, wonderful. They had an amazing time. Didn't have any food.
Good. By the way, no food allowed in this aisle unless you're me. Sorry. It's actually, this is the only seat you can have food in. I know. You didn't see that? Well, it's because I bought my ticket a week ago. So it wasn't even an option. But I'm sure you could probably even get a refund if you don't want to stay. And I won't be offended.
So they don't check their phone. They don't talk. They don't do anything. Perfect.
That sounds boring. No
the people
snacks,
to the
no
left
phone checking,
of me.
No one's texting you.
Weirdest fucking couple. First of all, the woman's in flip-flops, which it's like, okay, whatever. Then.
Don't wear open-toe shoes to the movies.
That's okay, especially in a recliner. When your feet are, when I can see your freaking pale-ass toes.
Bring a blankie.
They did.
Well, that's fine.
Feet uncovered.
Shut up. They were temperature regulating.
It's going to get worse with the feet, but the Michael Jackson trailer comes on. The husband, as if he is 7 years old, tapping his feet, like both of his feet at once, like this, on his recliner.
And it's shaking the
chewing,
whole
the chewing, Caroline, astronomical, you wouldn't believe it. And
did
that's
you have
not
your
even
loops?
Like my. Yeah, but that's not. But I also, it's like sometimes I don't want to put them in. I want
to
experience
get over
it.
That. You can still experience it. I wear them to everything I go to.
Anyway.
You won't so find that, me without my loops.
Then the lights go off for the movie. It's darker now. The woman takes her flip-flops off. And then every so often in the movie, first of all, brightness on her phone, full.
Smells her feet.
Full.
Every so often in the movie, pulls her foot up, smells it.
No, her brightness is on full brightness.
Get a privacy screen if you want to text in movies. That's my advice for you.
Checking her phone every 10 minutes of the movie. Then, this is the final thing I'll say, because I know I sound like such an asshole.
You do, but keep going.
She'll straighten her feet out like a dog that stretches her feet, you know?
Holy shit. She's like, I know I sound so mean, but this bitch straightens her feet out like a dog. The stop. Only way I can reference what this looks like is like a
no, but do
like
you know
a
what I
canine
mean?
Animal.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
pushes her
I do.
Feet out.
I do know. I just think
toes?
You could have just. Don't give me the visual of your feet. You could have just told me, describe our sister's feet. She does that shit. When she spreads them, I'm like, don't do that around me.
That's
don't
what she's
do
doing.
That around me. Put socks on.
She's doing that like throughout the whole movie.
We
like,
have Pearl in our
stretching
house.
And,
no
stretching
feet.
And stretching her toes.
Stop showing me your hands spread out.
This is the second time in the last month I've gone to a movie where people have taken their shoes off.
People have really bad theater etiquette. I went to a movie on Friday that my friend was starring in. It was the premiere of this movie called Baggage Claim, which was very exciting. His name's Gabe DeRose, and the director and main actress and writer is Nikki Neuer. I think I'm saying her name right. If I'm not, I apologize. But anywho, very cool. It's neat to see like a full feature. Like they did a whole, it was a long normal, I mean, a normal length movie, not like a short film, fully produced. Like it was really impressive that they were able to do it. And so anyway, But the people who came to see it, it was like very much friends and family vibes because it was the premiere and they none of them live here anymore. So they came back to do it. And like, I'm not kidding you. I want to send Loops earbuds a $1 million check and invest in the company because I put them in because I could hear behind me that it was going to be a rough fucking night. Like there were... No offense, but there were oldies behind me, and they don't know how to behave in the movies. They were like,
"Guys, we are two of the meanest. We are two of the meanest women alive."
They're like crinkling dogs everything. They take out something, they're just like crinkling it. I was like, "Are you okay?" Like, my mom would have hit me. Just kidding, she wouldn't have hit me, but she would have hit it out of my hands.
In the movie industry, like the concession industry, how have we not made a bag for movies? That doesn't crinkle.
Well, you know what the worst is that Kelly gets the cardboard kids thing of it, of the popcorn. It comes in a cardboard box. And so I hear the whole time her like scraping around in cardboard, which is
why would she do that?
I don't know. But that's what she does. Did I tell you the other day she brought Whoppers to a movie?
Insane.
Sitting next to me. Like she knew.
And guys, she has it too.
No, she doesn't.
Wait, she doesn't? Why did she wear those earmuffs to Marty Supreme?
I don't know. Like, she likes, I think, sometimes as, but, like, it's not anything compared to.
Guys, literally, like, if I can explain it to you, like, I have contemplated hypnosis for it.
I get, there was a time with Anthony where I was like, it's going to ruin my relationship. Like, and I have also considered hypnosis for it. And I can't be mad at my husband every time we sit down and have dinner together.
Yes.
If we're at a restaurant, it's okay because like there's so much chatter. There's so much.
It doesn't
unless
matter
it's
as
like
much.
Tortilla chips and he's being crazy. And like I know that I'm a fucking bitch, but
no, I know that like that's the thing. I know I'm being unreasonable. Uh-huh. But I also like Brecken was over the other day and my upstairs neighbor was being herself.
Huh?
And I was like, she could tell that it was like ruining my night.
And Brecken wasn't bothered.
She was like, can you just like block it out? And I was like, I can't just block it out.
Yeah, like that's
if
the
I
thing.
Could,
and it makes
if
me
I could,
have a
I wouldn't
physical
have this issue.
Reaction to it. Because once I start noticing it, that's it. There's no
exactly.
Not noticing it. And I get physically like enraged. And what it really is like, it's just overstimulation. I can't handle it. And I freak out and I'm like mean and it's bad. But the Loops have literally save me from that. I put them in. I could still hear a few things that were really bothering me in the movie. But essentially, what's able to happen, because like for me, if I'm in a movie and I don't have my Loops in and I'm so tuned in to the stimulus from everybody around me and what everyone's doing and they're talking and they're eating and like I can't control those people. Think about the Mel Robbins, let them, right?
And you
there's
can control
two parts
yourself.
To it. It's let them, and then it's let me.
I'm going to listen to you talk my groceries. One bag of groceries just got... There's something cold in there.
I'm going to lecture for a second. There are two parts of the let them theory. There's the let them. There's the let me. Okay? And the let me is very important because I have a hard time with the let them. All right? I get fucking annoyed with these people, and I don't want to let them. I'm like, where is the person you're supposed to tell them you can't act like that? That person, I can't find them anywhere. Oh, they don't exist. It's me. I'm that person. So let me is I put in my Loops and literally it just filters out so much of that external stimuli that I don't end up checking my phone. I don't end up needing to like get up and go to the bathroom and walk around. I can like just immerse myself in the movie. And then when I take my Loops out, it's like back in the real world, back to reality. And Kelly and Anthony are always like so annoyed with everybody in the theater. And I have been completely exempt from that because I didn't even hear it. Like that's how much Loops work for me. And I do put them on the highest setting and I can still hear the movie perfectly. And then if it's like, I always sit in the aisle. So if it's like, I want to hear it more, I can just take out the Loops that's like closest to the aisle because there's nobody on that side of me. And then I can keep the one in on the other side. But honestly, like, God, Loops, like the best $40 I've ever spent. And I just love them. But I need more pairs because I need a pair to have by my bedside for when Anthony falls asleep before me and starts snoring like a freaking monster. And sometimes it doesn't bother me, but sometimes it really fucking does. And once I notice it, I can't go to sleep. So like that would be good. And then I kind of just need to have one like in my car, like emergency Loops just in case. And then I have one in my purse. But like, what if I don't bring my purse? You know what I mean? So I do need more pairs of them. So if Loops wants to sponsor this podcast, I don't know how much more clear I can make it that, like, we are ready and willing. We fucking love your company. Thank you. Okay, well, Phoebe's not back yet. I guess she just went for a walk. Oh, I heard a giggle. She thought that was funny. Glad one of us thought that was funny. Can I say something here? I'm going to quote Robbie Hoffman's comedy because they said the funniest fucking thing. She's like, here's my thing about pit bulls, okay? It's always the first time. I was like, sorry, that's so funny. And she's always like, you know, and it's like, oh my God, everything's been so great with our pit bull and blah, blah, blah. And like, and then one day the pit bull like mauls the 3-year-old and they're like, oh my God, it's the first time. This has never happened before. This is the first time it's ever happened. And Robbie's like, yeah, it's always like the first time. Like, oh, it's always the first time it's ever happened. And like our Gaga got bitten by a pit bull this week. And I don't think it was the first time.
Guys, I'm sorry. It does scare me. And I, at the bachelorette party, actually, here's what I'll say. Because
I've met a lot of pit bulls that like are very sweet and docile. Exactly. And that I love very much.
Look
at this. So it's not like, I don't have anything really against the breed, but I will say when I was working in insurance, just so you guys know, this is crazy.
Well, they cost more, right?
No, they won't insure you. There are like six different types of dogs. I want to say an Akita is one of them. Oh my God, that's such a cute dog.
This dog ran over to us while we off leash. Her owner was really nice. So it was fine. But like, I'm someone who is a little bit skittish around pit bulls. You just don't know. And I know that it's not.
We have had multiple bad experiences with pit bulls, like in our lives, like in.
I know that it's not us directly, but like. But I just feel like it's.
And like, listen, pit bulls. I'm not for, like, we shouldn't be euthanizing them. Like, we should be finding them homes where they can. And, like, you know, there is the argument, like, there are no bad dogs, only bad owners. And I think that's true to an extent. But there are some dogs that have inherently more aggressive genes. And so they need owners that are there to, like, help them.
Yes. And that seemed like this dog's owner was super sweet. Like, she came over to me. She's obsessed with me. She wouldn't leave my side.
God.
I have, like, 50 pictures of her just posing like this for me.
Wait, that's so cute.
Everybody was like, wow, what is going on here?
Look at that. Oh, it's like, honestly, like, I also think that it's just, yeah. I mean, if you know that you have an aggressive dog, pitbull or otherwise, if you know you have an aggressive dog, you need to, like, be very fucking careful with that dog. Because at the end of the day, you just don't want to be in a situation where someone's like, well, your dog just also sent my grandpa to the hospital.
There always can be a first time. So I think for me, if I had any dog... even Sid sometimes, I'm like, the way Sid fucking acts on walks, if we didn't have him leashed, I don't think Sid would bite someone.
I don't either.
And he can't hurt someone in the way that a different kind of dog can because he's little and his
teeth
are sharp.
Pitbulls are also very strong, like their makeup,
Sid
they're all muscle.
I would never feel comfortable having Sid off leash or like any, like,
either.
I just think don't have your dog off leash because like I said, there's always going to be a first time for something. And, like, why would you want to ever risk that being your dog?
I know.
Well, because you don't know what kind of primal thing that's going to trigger them to react the way that they do and end up knocking Gaga over and sending him to the hospital.
And I think something that happens a lot of times, like, one of my best friends in college had a pit bull that she rescued named Bubba, who, like, love of my life. I love Bubba so fucking much. And Bubba's so lucky that Kayla was his owner because I'm like, for a lot of college, I mean, that's why college kids get cats because it's so much easier. But like, I think that there are people who aren't necessarily ready for the commitment of a dog and the ease of adopting a pit bull makes it so that they adopt the pit bull and then they don't actually take the time to invest in that dog the way that they need to. And with any dog, like our dogs could be terribly behaved if we had not been like, we need to be really serious about how we have a 5-year-old girl who shares the yard with us and Chuck is 90 pounds. If we had not been like so serious with him about the training, like we got him as a puppy. He could have been a dog who wasn't gentle. You know what I mean? Like, so it's just any dog, but I was like dying at the stand up where it's just like, it's always the first. That's my thing about pit bulls. It's always the first time. And then like the audience is silent also. So I'm like fully prepared for us to get some backlash for this. And I've loved so many pit bulls. And like Kelly would be like the perfect pit bull owner because she is such a dog lover. And she so believes in like the power of good ownership for a dog that it's like,
that's really what it comes down to, I think, with the pit bulls. It's like a lot of their owners, they get so worked up about the way people discuss pit bulls.
Yeah.
But oftentimes, it's those owners. Like, do you remember the people on
they're like, the dog's so gentle. And it's like, yes, but right now. But every animal has animal instincts based on how they are bred. Like, they do. Like, one thing that Chuck does, I mean, they brought in a dead fucking chipmunk into the house. And, like, it was a whole thing. And I was like, my dogs aren't, like, killer dogs, but they're still fucking dogs. They're still gonna, like, if there's a dead animal carcass in the yard or a live one that they catch in their mouth, they might accidentally kill it and bring it in. They didn't mean harm, but they're dogs and they're animals, and I can train them really, really well and give them the tools to like work against their inner urges, but at the end of the day, they're animals. Like, they don't have reasoning, you know? And so it's like you can have the most love in the world for your dog, but if you don't take the steps to like protect, and it's protecting your dog. Protecting other people is protecting your dog, because you don't want, your dog bites the wrong fucking person. Like, you don't know what happens next, you know? And it's like, so you just need to set yourself up for success in that way, where like you take care of your dog a certain way. And they're like, I don't know what the deal is with this dog that bit our Gaga, but it has been known to be an aggressive dog. And oh my God, the picture. Dad writes in the chat, he's like, let me know if anybody wants to see the picture. Nobody responds and says they want to see it.
Sends it anyway.
And it was, by the way, harrowing. Like, it's a crazy
guys,
picture.
I thought that he was wearing red socks.
I did too. It was blood. I called him and we're talking. First of all, I'm like, Gaga, are you in so much pain? He goes, oh no, I honestly forgot about it. And I was like, okay. And I was like, Gaga, I would be milking that for all that it's worth. And he was like, he was like, I think my milking days are over. And then he was like, so what's this I hear about you is buying a house? And I was, and this is just really good advice. I might have already told you, Phoebe, but it was just so cute. I was like, yes, we are. Like, he's like, good for you. Good for you. I was like, thank you. And I'm scared. And he goes, oh, don't be scared. He's like, you know, there'll be bumps, but you just go over the bumps. I was like, okay, brilliant advice. You know how many times I've said brilliant. You just go over the bumps in the last week? Like, I've been like, God,
it's really good.
So I true. Honestly, like, there will be bumps, but he's like, you can't avoid the bumps. You just got to go over the bumps.
The way that I have Dad's handwritten be a goldfish at my door. I kind of want that. I want Gaga to write that down. That on my door.
Go over the bumps. Wait, we should ask him to do that. That's cute. We should honestly, that would be a great like family project to ask like all these people in our lives to write down like a lesson that we've taken from them or something.
We should write
in
that
their
down.
Handwriting.
We should write that down.
Yeah, write it down.
I'm going to write that down.
Okay, I want to ask you guys about something before we talk about reality TV for a little bit. We've gabbed for a long time, but we will not talk too long about reality TV. But here's the thing. Lately, I've been like, God, I have a great idea for a tweet. God, I have a great idea for something to put in the universe. And then I'm like, I can't tweet that. Okay, but I can't tweet it. And how unfair is that? I had the idea. I don't want to give it to somebody else. Am I going to make a burner account? And then I realized that's what people are doing. There are all these accounts that I retweet all the time. Those are burner accounts of regular old people like me that are putting their unhinged thoughts. Like, I have, you know, Chloe's Twitter feed. That's like my burner account. Wait, like, should I make a burner account?
Sure. What are you going to call it?
Well, I'm not going to tell you here. It's going to be a burner account where I tweet whatever I want. And then, like, I'll go famous. I'll go fame.
She's
okay.
Ready.
It's time to get into a segment we like to call Other People's Business. And if you like this segment, guys, just so you know, on our Patreon, you can get a full-length episode that's just Other People's Business, where we talk about only basically gossip and pop culture, okay? That is in the Patreon, tier 2. It's called Other People's Business. You can join that for $6 a month. If you join that tier, you also get every single episode that we've ever put on Patreon under our first or second tier. And that's a lot, okay? I also want to let you know that if you join our top tier, which was formerly $12 a month. Now it's $9. So bargain queens. $9 a month, you get like every single thing we've ever created at all. But you also get all of our main episodes. So like this Tuesday episode, Thursday episodes, ad-free. And you get video. So for those of you who are like, love the reels and asking for more video, we have the answer for you. It is on the Patreon. And you can go get it and watch them there. You can also buy the individual episodes if you're not ready to commit to
and
a month.
Sometimes on Patreon, on our highest tier, sometimes you get a little bit extra. They're a little bit less edited, the videos of our main episodes.
If you want us unfiltered and kooky, you know, we did say it's National Goof Off Day. We might have been goofing off more than you hear on Maine. But if you're on the Patreon, you might get to hear all of that. So you get video there and you also get ad-free and you get a little bit extra. So I think you should join the top tier.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill at its lowest price ever and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first and only GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Based on advertised cash price for 30-day supply of medication only. Membership required. Fee not included, and billed separately. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Because you literally get all of that, every pilot recap we've ever done, everything we've ever put on the top tier. You also get all of our tiers. So you get tiers one, which is the Caroline Show. How could you not want that? And then you also get tier two, other people's business. That has like all our punch bowls. Like there's a lot on the Patreon that you can have. And then you also get added to our close friend story if you message us and tell us. So just so you guys know, if you are loving our other people's business segment and you want more of it, there is more of it, but we're going to get into it now. Should we start with Southern hospitality, Southern charm? I feel like we should start down in the South. What do you think?
Well, should we just go through our Bravo week? Okay. Good summer house.
Okay.
Charleston, maybe a little bit of Beverly Hills. Are you caught up?
Sure. Yeah, I am.
Okay.
All right, let's start summer house. What did you think about Sierra and West? Dude, I will say West was like low-key giving me the ick a little bit when they were super drunk and he kept like reaching over and touching
her.
Well,
at first I was confused because at one point he said he wasn't
drunk.
Exactly. So I wasn't sure. And then he woke up and he was like, I don't remember anything.
Yes. And I was like, I wish you hadn't said you weren't drunk because then I would have been like, oh, he's drunk. He's acting like this. But also that might have given me the ick more. I don't. But I was the whole time. I was like, he said
but
he
I was kind
drunk,
of relieved.
Now he's acting like this. And he's not the
relieved.
Kind of person that lies about being drunk. So it's like.
And he's not. He's also not the kind of person that does that. Like.
No,
he does
Sierra
that.
Was just kind of like, oh.
But she was. She was letting it happen a little. Like,
I know.
With the, and I think. Then, like, this is, I'm going to go straight into, like, just, I can't stand Jesse. Like, I think he's the worst of the worst. The way that he's, like, laughing at West as they're sitting over there. And I'm just like, you are so,
nasty.
Such a jealous,
you can see it making
envious
West
person.
Feel bad in real time.
Mm-hmm. And that's where I think I saw this take. Maybe it was you. Or maybe I saw it on TikTok.
Probably.
Someone was like, that I don't think that West and Jesse are actually friends.
Okay,
like I think they came into the house together, and so they they had to be friends. But I think West like can't fucking stand Jesse.
Honestly, that's a good point. I'm gonna be watching out for that because I
think Jesse also is like I can't stand that West has been able to like rebound from the way everybody hated him.
Jesse has such like a superiority complex for some reason. Like
I think he
thinks he's really good looking. He thinks he's really talented. He thinks he's fun. Like he thinks all these things, and I'm like, I think it blows his mind that West can pull in ways that Jesse can't, because West is honestly so much more of a catch. And honestly, mm-hmm. I thought that his apology to Sierra at the table was really good. First of all, you know, sometimes I feel like with Southern hospitality, we'll talk about that a little bit, but I don't always like the group setting for these types of conversations. I get that it like logistically makes sense when you're filming a TV show, but there are conversations that I'm like, this I think should be private. Like I do think Emmy should have gotten the chance. I mean, no, she did, but to talk to these people privately rather than like creating this like gang up sort of
dog
situation.
Pile.
Exactly. But I also think a public disrespect should get a public apology, and especially in this world. And so West being at the table and kind of like bringing it up, like I feel like he's the one that brought it up, and he was like, I just didn't realize like what it would do or how disrespectful it was, and until it went the other way, and I'm really sorry. Like you
and I love what I love about Sierra is the way that she's, you can tell she's wants to hear him out and probably does forgive him and is willing to move forward, but she still is able, like she says, it still like hurts that you had to go through it to feel bad about it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Like, it would have been great if you could have had the wherewithal when we went to that reunion, when you decided to do the New York Times interview.
Yeah.
Like if you could have thought for 1 second how that could have felt.
And I almost
it's just
feel, it's
weird
like,
that you
know,
had to like, you had to go through it first.
We have like age gap relationships, and then there's like reality TV gap relationships. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like if it's your first season, you shouldn't be dating someone who's a vet. Like, because you don't understand the world yet, and you're going to make a mistake that you don't even fucking realize you're making. Mm-hmm. And or you're too swept up in everything to realize the ramifications of what you're doing.
Wait,
and
isn't, like, did we see that in the midseason premiere? Isn't someone going to say that to someone in Summer House? Like,
I hope like not, you don't, because I swear I didn't steal it from that. I just thought of it.
No. I think maybe it has to be Southern Hospitality. It has to be.
What is
I feel
it?
Like Michael says it. Someone's like, you're new to this world. Like, you don't get how this works.
That's Craig on Southern Charm.
What is
He's like, you're new to this world. You don't get it. Whitner. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is true. Whitner slowly revolved.
Whitner did
a
need
bit.
To like, Whitner coming in so hot at the reunion was a little much.
It's
but back
too
to Summer
much.
House. I like that Sierra is also able to, like, she was able to hear West out. You can tell that it still hurts her. We've seen how much of a struggle it is for her to be vulnerable, but she's still being vulnerable in that moment in front of these people, in front of the cameras, which is great.
Sierra
and then
is
she
one
turns
of the
it
best
into this, she's
reality
the best.
Stars.
She turns it into the, this teaching moment. Not that she should have to. It shouldn't be her job as a Black woman to have to explain the, like, inequalities and unfairness of just, like, the way that the world looks at your life. Like, West, you're... The attention you were getting for dating Sierra was not the same as the attention she was getting for dating you. And part of it is being a Black woman and dating white men, as she was saying. And she was like, that comes with this whole other side of things that, like, you never thought about. And by doing these things, you actually made it worse. And, like, you made it harder. And I had to deal with these other things that I don't actually have anybody to commiserate with. I don't have anybody who gets it, who I can come to and talk to about. I was the first Black woman in this house. Like, and just, so I think it's, I like that, like, she brings those conversations. It was nice to have KJ there as well to chime in, like, and, like, having Mia there as well. I think it made it, like, a really valuable conversation. Andy brought it up on Watch What Happens. He was like, this was a really valuable conversation for us to have on the show and, like, bring into people's living rooms. And so I, like, as much as Sierra shouldn't have to do that, and it would be so great, like, what I want for her is for her to be with a man who understands that before she has to explain it. But that, honestly, if she's going to date a white man at some point, that just might not be the reality. And so I, like, appreciate the way that she was able to bring that up, explain it, and the way that West was able to hear it, and the whole table was able
and
to hear it.
And the whole table. I will say Summer House is always the show... It is that when this conversation happened, when the French guy, Andrea, was forgetting someone's name, mixing her and Maya. Sierra up. Yeah. Mixing her and Sierra up. When she brought that conversation to the table, and it's always Kyle always leads the charge, and like, it's always really like, why can't you speak like this in your marriage? Like,
But he's like a good mediator, but he's not good at bringing like his own conflict up.
Yeah. And I think I kind of want him to stay single for the rest of his life. If he just lose the, I'm not calling Amanda baggage, but I'm calling his behavior in this wedding, in this marriage baggage. Like, if he can just lose that and we don't have to see him act and treat someone that we like we like Amanda. If we don't have to see that anymore.
Well, and it's hard because it's not fair to her that we like her less because of it. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not fair that because of the behavior of your husband, it's making me like you less. You know what I mean? Like, I see that. It's not your fault. But I'm pissed off at you for putting up with it.
Like, I don't feel like it's affected how I like Amanda.
Well, in the past it has, where I'm like, her marrying him pissed me. I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
That's
like,
true,
the writing's on the wall.
Yeah.
And it's just like that kind of a thing. But and that's not fair, like, that I should do that. But also it's like, I just want women to want better for themselves. And I honestly feel like they knew the writing, or at least she knew. And it felt like a pride thing when they got married rather than like a love thing. I don't know. I mean, I believe they love each other, but
yeah, I think they are each other's best friend, like the way they always say it. And I think that would make it obviously hard.
It's so classic, like the men that, like, I'm sure Kyle, the next girl that he dates, is gonna be a fucking party girl. She's gonna be a 20-something girl who loves to go out and party, loves to be the DJ booth. And I doubt it's gonna last. And the thing is, it's like, you hear it so much, tale as old as time, the guy in the long-term relationship, look at Tom Sandoval, and it's like, oh, life stops being so exciting and I'm having a midlife crisis, so I need somebody that's going to support my every whim to try to get my life and my youth back. And it's like, how about you just evolve at the rate you're evolving?
Right, exactly.
And mature at the rate you need to mature and grow into these other seasons of your life where there's going to be a lot of happiness, but like, you just start have blinders up to it and you won't allow yourself.
Kyle is never gonna have the life that he pictured for himself. Like, he's never gonna, like, the way that he and Amanda fight about kids, he's never gonna have kids. I don't think he's ever gonna get married again. I think he's just gonna party
and he could
and
have like
around.
It's that is on him, and I'm sure he will go to his grave blaming Amanda for that. Baby, that is on you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you created, in what world were you gonna bring a kid into this marriage at any
as
point?
You start DJing. Like,
yeah,
for real.
Exactly.
It's ridiculous.
When you have, you know, if Flubber Boy is in as much financial trouble as you say it is, you know, and also I have to say, mad disrespect on Kyle's name for not investing in Carl's Soft Bar. Mm-hmm. As much
Which,
as
by the
I
way,
think Soft Bar might
is
be
thriving.
Dumb,
no, it's thriving way more than Lover Boy is.
Good.
Like, it's always packed in there from what I've seen online.
That's awesome.
Not even just from Carl's perspective, but from like
other people
seeing it on TikTok from people go.
Well, drinking is taking a back seat these days, like, especially.
Well, also
with
it's just
cultures.
I like the way that Carl talks about the way that it's like it's a third space. It's also just like a coffee shop that has the energy of a bar,
yeah,
where you can go in the day and it's not like stuffy like a coffee shop.
Did you see that Maddie Reese is DJing there?
Oh yeah, I did see that. I think
which
that's
is a great
I've
matchup.
Really enjoyed Carl this season. I'm really enjoying Lindsay. I love them both together.
Me too.
I love them both. Oh.
I just like
Carl, like,
as
gives,
much as I don't
like
Bailey, I feel really bad for Bailey.
I know. I do too. She's getting but she's gonna be stirring up some stuff later and I can't wait. I need her to be giving Emmy Sherritt energy.
I don't know if she has it in her. Few
I
do.
Think she could. I think she could.
Very few do. I mean, the fact that Emmy Sherritt is sober, except for her one shot of Espolon, but sober and acting this way, oh, keep her on our screens forever.
But final Summer House thoughts is, listen, I want Wes and Sierra together.
I know, I do
to
too.
Work.
Cancel
like, I really
me, fine.
Just, like, I think they are in love with each other, and
too.
They just like don't know what to do because
they're both
they don't
so scared of messing mm-hmm. up what is good right now, mm-hmm. messing up the house, and then also getting hurt. Like, they are so scared of so much, and like, I would be too. I would be so scared,
for sure.
But, like,
and to have to do it, and they know it, the whole world, like,
and
they know how
back,
we feel
also,
about
if
them.
If they're not together now, watching it back, if I'm Sierra, I'm like, I gotta call him. You know what
well,
I
the
mean?
Way, the Wes, like, the when he's drunk and he's, like, he's like, oh, I'm in love with her.
I know.
It's like he, like,
and he's not flirting with other girls.
Drunk words are sober thoughts.
Sober freaking thoughts, everybody. They're sober freaking thoughts.
So, but this is, listen, Paige, loved you on Summer House, but your time did come to an end. That was very smart of you.
She was keeping them in the bed too much.
Because this is one of the best Summer House seasons.
I'm really enjoying it. Sierra, it's the Sierra show. As it should be.
Exactly. And I think she's really coming, now that Paige, another thing that her Paige being gone has led to is I think Sierra's coming out of her shell even more.
Double P. Obviously, Paige Sierra's and Prozac. She said Sierra's, she's been on Prozac always, for a year and it saved her. And I'm like, honestly, when she said it, I was like, wow, that makes so much sense. Like, that makes a lot of sense.
I just love that she's so goofy. National Goofball Day.
And it was like she's always been that way, but I feel like,
which is why she and West works, and why she and Jesse would never work.
Never
and that's
work.
That's another thing. Jesse has little to no respect for Sierra, and West respects Sierra so much. Mm-hmm. Like Jesse might think that he and West have the same kind of feelings for Sierra. But West is like
so stupid.
So stupid. So stupid.
So stupid. Okay, so let's move into Southern Charm. I mean, what a Paige redemption moment. Speaking of Paige.
It is. I'm gonna be a little controversial here though.
Boy.
Not too controversial because I am
right.
Craig, you need to wrap it up. Like, you need to stop acting the way that you do. But what I don't like about this world that Austin has manipulated and crafted is that he's this innocent guy who sits back and then gets relentlessly attacked by Craig.
Yes.
That is not what happens. True. Craig starts drinking again. And by the way, I'm not saying it's the responsibilities on the people around Craig, but you guys know that number one, he's going through a breakup that he's clearly not doing well because of. You know that he has a bit of a drinking issue. But he's starting to drink again.
Yeah.
And Austin's still at the party. You're making all these little jabs at Craig.
Yeah.
And then it's classic. Sorry. It's what do they call it? Darvo. Oh
my God.
I don't mean to make light of that, but he does that thing where like he abuses Craig.
Yeah.
And then waits until Craig is the one who is making the big show of reacting.
Yes.
So the whole group is now looking and Austin can say, oh, my God, look at how Craig is treating me and talking to me. How can he treat his best friend like this?
By the way,
the victim.
We're going to talk about Taylor Frankie Paul on the Patreon. So if you want to hear all of our thoughts on the Taylor Frankie Paul shit and Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, we'll see you on tier two, Other People's Business, on the Patreon this week, because I have so much to say, but I'm not comfortable putting it on main, honestly.
I agree. What I loved about the reunion and was when Craig was like, I know I messed up and I apologized for it. And then Austin's like, no, you didn't. And then they roll the tape and he did apologize for it. And then Whitner's like, an apology with a but after is not an apology. It's like, well, first of all, Whitner, you don't know their relationship.
You're not in this world. You don't exist in my world, to quote Craig Connor.
Literally. But like what I'll say is Craig, in my opinion, was being the bigger person in that moment to apologize, but also holding his ground to say, but do you see how the way that those comments all night?
Yeah.
Like, I don't like when you do that. It's not that you don't. And this is an issue I have with what Austin says. When Austin says, I never know which Craig I'm going to get.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you do.
Well, yeah.
You know which Craig you're going to get until you push that button that you know you're pushing.
Yes.
You might
that's
just not
exactly...
know. And then you get to play dumb. Then you get to be like, how can you talk like that to me?
Yeah. Well, what I was going to say while you were talking about all of that, because I think you're 100% right. I'm like, Austin, you've been best friends with Craig for how long?
Mm-hmm.
Stop acting like
you treat
don't
him like
know
this.
How this person's going. Well, it's not even that. It's like, stop acting like you don't.
Yeah,
it's like he's your brother. Like, let me just tell you guys, if I wanted to get Phoebe to the point of her being so fucking mad at me that she's like crying mad, I would know exactly what to do. Okay. And especially if I can't think of any recent times, but like when we were younger, if we would get in a fight and we're fully going at it, fighting with each other, I would be like, and now I'm going to do this one thing because it's just going to fucking set her off.
And what was it?
I would just, I don't know, in the moment, like I could like say something that
Caroline loved, as soon as she would get me worked up enough that I started yelling, she would turn it on me. And she would say, stop, why are you yelling at me? Mom, I wasn't yelling at her. She just, look at how she's acting.
Yeah, exactly. And then Phoebe would freak out and I'd be like, okay, you know what? You know what? That's
she's
fine.
Crazy. She's crazy. I can't
be mad then, Phoebe. And Phoebe's like, I am mad. And I'm like, no, be mad then. I mean, she's like, and like, yeah, I would just like, I just know what to do. But also like, my sisters know what to do to make me do that too. Like it's mm-hmm. siblinghood. That is a big, mm-hmm. we know how to do it to our parents. I know how to do it to my friends. Would I do it? No. Like it's not like, that's
exactly.
The thing, I wouldn't do it to my friends. Even my
and
friends
Austin
like Kelly
will.
Who is like a sister to me. But like if, mm-hmm. if Phoebe and I were literally fighting like that, like we're sisters, we're going to come back. But like we know how to do it. The thing is, it's like, and it makes me sound like I respect my friends more than you, but it's more so like I acknowledge the fragility of those relationships than ours. Like I know we're going to work there, be fine.
Because we're business partners.
First and foremost. And that's what Craig and Austin can't seem to figure out because they're also business partners. Let's not forget. But it's just like Austin, like you, it's been the playbook. So that's what's mm-hmm. annoying to me when he acts like, because yes, as you're saying, he's pushing all the buttons. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what buttons he's pushing. He's also been doing it for years and years and years and years on our screens.
And
we've
just
been seeing
it makes
so it's
me
like,
feel crazy when I watch and yeah. Craig is pointing out that behavior
because
and everybody
is
like,
Craig emotionally regulated? No. Does Craig need a therapist? Yes. Mm-hmm. Does Craig have a drinking problem? Yes. Is Craig a liar? Yes. All of these things can be true. But if you love him as a friend, as a business partner, as a pseudo brother, then first of all, you're not trying to get him to show his ass like this on reality television when he's in a fragile state. Like you're not the one poking and prodding
like
trying
Austin
to get him
like
there.
Gets off
it's like
on
Blair
it,
and
low-key.
Serena. Like when push comes to shove, they show up for each other. But they also like they will be fucking mean and fight with each other and do things to hurt each other. But there's a point where they don't. And a lot of times that's when it's like a Gossip Girl blast or it's like brought to the public. And so for Austin, I'm like, you're filming a reality TV show. You know he's in a fragile position. You know what's going on in his life. You know your friendship's in a fragile position. Why are you choosing now to put... And it's like, well, I do know why you're choosing now because you hate Craig. You hate him. And so what you mm-hmm. need to do is just stop being friends. Like,
yeah.
you just need to stop it and be business
it's
partners
not fair
or
to
not.
Either of you
like,
guys.
I don't know. Like, you guys are making bad fucking business choices. Like, by the way, is amazing, but I don't know why you went into business together. You hate each other this much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and you're going to act... It can't be good for business. Maybe it is. Maybe they think it is good for business to have these fights. I don't know. But, like... You can know all these things about Craig, and instead of being like, let me try to help my friend or be aware of these things and kind of mm-hmm. what I'm working with
and
when he walks into the party, I'm going to like put him in a state of
yeah.
fight or flight where he's going to act crazy and it's all going to be on film and I'm going to sit back and be like, I don't know, he's crazy.
I'm the victim. And then Austin's going to try to victimize himself even more by saying what you said about the alcoholic comment, which it's true. What Austin is saying is true, but when he's bringing it up, it's convenient.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't care about Craig being an alcoholic yeah. when he missed his drinking buddy. He didn't care, but now that this is on screen and we see how much Craig is drinking and how crazy he acts, it's convenient for Austin to
yes.
say, we were scared. I didn't know what to do when you started drinking again. And it's like, well,
like,
you were begging
you
him to start drinking again last season.
Exactly.
You loved it so much, you wanted to be single.
You should have been scared. That would have been the appropriate reaction based on the conversation you had with Craig. When Craig told you, I'm an addict, I'm an alcoholic, I cannot drink, then when he started drinking, you should have said, Craig, let's go to a meeting. Craig, let's call, do you have a sponsor? Let's call your sponsor. Call his bluff. He's not doing those things because he shouldn't have thrown that word around the way that he did. I think that was irresponsible and I think it was uncool because it's disrespectful to the millions of people who struggle with
if he's not gonna
addiction.
If he's not gonna do the work, yeah. If he's not going to do the work to be the role model like Carl's doing
yes.
or like Maddie Reese does
you don't
or these
get to
sober
own this,
Bravo
like,
people.
Or you know what? Let us in on your full ass struggle then, dude. You know what I mean? Like, let us see you really struggle with your... Like, there are plenty of Bravo stars who we have watched struggle with their sobriety. And if you want to bring that to the table as part of a story, then
right.
you need to be prepared to act a certain way. And it's just like the double life that Craig tends to lead where it's like
mm-hmm.
you want to be Martha Stewart, but then like you turn around and you act like this when you're wasted and it's like you can't do that. Like you have
yeah.
to And you know what? There would have been so much grace for him if he had been like, I'm an alcoholic and I need help and I'm getting help. And so I'm going to make a really big donation to this foundation.
Even like the way
I'm
going to
be going
Shep
to meetings. I'm
going to
talk about
BravoCon.
I'm going to go on Zach Clark's podcast. I'm going to do X, Y, and Z because this is something that's important to me and I want my friends to rally around me and expect more from me. And maybe, you know, whatever. But like he didn't do any of those things. He went balls to the walls drinking. And it's like, if you are going to label yourself that way, then what we are seeing now is a crisis. And it bothers me that when people treat it like a crisis, you're the next day you want to pretend that you don't have a problem and that it's not real, right. Whatever. It's like, you can't just like decide day to day whether or not you want to brand yourself as an alcoholic. Because also, alcoholics will tell you it's for life. It doesn't matter if
but
you're
sober.
But
it's also, it's confusing to me the way, like, like the Mexico thing, like, yeah, it is a crisis. And as the audience, it's confusing to have heard him call himself an alcoholic and then go on a day like that and then act like everything's fine. But then with his friend group, it's like that should be their next, that should be what they're doing. But instead, they're not addressing that.
Poke. Yeah. And it's like, Austin, I think that if you were really worried about your friend and you weren't just using this as a storyline, you would be like, you know what, guys, I think we need to get production. I need to talk to a producer. I need to talk to Whitney. And we need to figure this out because he's not well. He told me he's an alcoholic. This is bad. We need to get him some help.
It's why the comment at the reunion felt so disingenuous to bring that up. Because it's just like, you're using that conversation y'all had as a way to again dogpile on Craig and say, and you know, after that conversation he asked if anybody was crying behind the camera, and I'm like, I do believe he said that.
I can literally
for sure.
hear it. I can hear him going, you cried that? but like, the way he asked isn't like, did you cry? It's like, oh my god, did you cry?
But it's like, Austin, you are a shitty friend for bringing that up. Like, yeah. You suck.
It's like on Jury Duty when
I haven't watched it yet.
Well, season one, when James Marsden calls the paparazzi on himself.
Yeah.
And what's his name? I can't remember his name right now, but the normal guy, he knows that he did it and never tells. And I'm like, that is, you know how fast I would have told about that? I would have told everybody immediately. I mean, that would never work on me. I saw this tweet that was like, I'd like to see them try jury duty on a woman. And like, no, true.
Cowards.
And Anthony was like, did I see you say that you want them to do jury duty with a woman? I said, I want them to try. I don't think they would be successful because you know how fast I'd be like, yeah, I'm outie. I would actually just start being so mean that they'd be like, is this going to really hurt your image?
But if you thought
we
it was really
get you
jury
out of
duty.
I mean, I don't know. I don't think I would. I think at a certain point I would be like, and also it wouldn't really matter. If I was sequestered and sharing a room with someone who was like, we should have a code and like I'm putting this under the paper with like how many knocks means like I'm going to the bathroom, I would literally be like, I would be mean to that person because I would be like, leave me the fuck alone. Like I would have to make it to a point where they don't feel comfortable knocking on my door. And like that's what it is. Okay. But by the way, I did watch episode one of Jury Duty. I can't believe our cousin's girlfriend is on it.
I know.
I think it would be the dream job. By the way, I'm deciding right now we're putting a pin in other people's business. If you want to hear the rest of this conversation, it's on Patreon. We'll talk about Southern Hospitality and the rest of Beverly Hills and all that, but just so that we can keep this episode timely. Jury Duty, I watched episode one. Our cousin's girlfriend is on it. So cool. I think it would be like the biggest dream job I could imagine as an actor. Like you've done so much work on your character, on who you are, on your relationships, and then you just get to play. Like, I cannot imagine a more fun acting job ever. Dream job.
It would be fun to do, like, an immersive, and like, kind of like, you know, the immersive play in Girls.
Of course.
Well, of course.
Of course, I know that.
If you guys did, like, if it was, like, a family picnic. It was, like, a family picnic kind of environment. And half of the people, or everybody, knows that it's a
so
play.
So the premise
kind
of Jury Duty is what I'm hearing.
Yes, exactly. but it's real. It could be like a fun like charity thing.
How could
like
I
people
do
could
it?
Pick. You'd have to.
How
use
could
all
me
your
and my
actor
friends do this?
This is how you guys would have to do it. There would have to be like five
or
six.
What? I just figured it out. Sorry, you can go ahead, but I figured it out.
There would have to be like five, however many actors you wanted to have, and then a bunch of people that the person knows in the environment to make it seem like not weird.
Yeah.
There's just these people here that they don't really know. And then, but slowly, but everybody, all the friends and family of that person are in on what's happened. Yeah. Like, they aren't actors per se, but they know that this person doesn't know that it's a play.
Phoebe, this is what it is. This is how we do it. Me and my friends could do this. So we'd get sued. In real life, it would be bad because, like, the person would be, like, so mad. Like, how do you tell them at the end? You know what I mean? When it's not a TV show. Like, how do you tell them? You just fucked them. Fucked with them for a week. No, for us, it's a play. It's an audition for a play. And everybody there is an actor already. Like, the director, it's not real. But we have somebody come in and audition and they get the role and they join us and we do a week-long retreat for the play. And it's a week-long rehearsal where we're all staying in a hotel and it's every night, every day, all day, like 9 to 4, we're rehearsing for the play.
Mm.
And we put it on at the end of the week. But like the playwright is there and the play is like being workshopped throughout the week. The cost, like everything is going wrong. The actors are bad. The director is not showing up. Like, you know what I mean? And then like one person in the show.
I think you need, and guys, this is me like making this a little bit R-rated, a little PG-13.
Phoebe, I'm not having sex with anybody on camera.
No.
Even Anthony.
There needs to be like a way where the person who doesn't know starts to suspect that the director is having a relationship with one of the actors.
Precisely. We would write in showman. We'd write in all these kind of things.
But that one is
character.
That one is secret enough.
It would be like the old-made character who's not in any scenes, really. And the director, like, is like, keeps putting them, like, in all these scenes. Like one-on-one dramatic scenes.
She's, like, going to the bathroom, and she, like, walks backstage and sees them, like, touching each other's arms.
Yes, yes. Like, it would be, exactly, an immersive, everybody's
Maybe one of the actors is cheating on their significant other from back home with one of their,
yes,
with their love interests in
the play.
One of
the actors shows up drunk to every rehearsal, and everyone's like, what do we do with this? The like costume person doesn't know how to sew. You know what I mean? And they're like, and the director keeps wanting to change all the costumes
It's fully the set for the play that goes wrong.
Yes. Everything is falling apart. Everything's like scary. The costumes are like for Chicago, but we're like set in like a Renaissance.
Doing Peter Pan.
Yeah. It's like complete. And like this actor just has to be like, do I say something about these things? Like, do I, like the actor puts in a complaint with like HR about the director relationship with the person. And then they're like, oh my God. I'm not going to file that because you won't get cast on the next show. I'm sorry, but it's just kind of.
I'm just looking out for you.
This is how it goes here. Things are a little bit different here. And I don't want this to hurt you in the long run. So I'm not going to file this. And I would recommend you don't bring this up to anybody else.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, I just think it would be.
I think if anybody at Amazon is listening to this and this, if this is season 3's premise, I will be filing a lawsuit.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, by the way, you can call me or you can pretend you never heard it. All right, those are your options with this. Because I did just describe exactly how to do season 3. And I think we could have a woman on that one. It could be a woman. And I have your whole cast too. So I'm holding your cast hostage. And if you want them, you're going to have to call me, Amazon. Anyway.
That was the worst part of Project Hail Mary, no offense to Amazon, was having to see the Amazon logo before the whole movie started.
No, I don't want to go. JK. Okay,
no, you're
going to
love it. Are y'all going
rotations
to the waterfront?
Yeah. Because IMAX.
Yes.
Because okay. IMAX. Rock on. Okay.
Well,
so
I did a
dream.
Bunch of research on them today on IMAX screens because I was trying to figure out, like, because there's only like 30 real, true 70mm IMAX screens in the country.
Okay.
Or in the world. The rest of them are called LIMAXes. Because
they're lying.
Yeah.
Because they're lying and it's not real IMAX.
Mm-hmm. So they're slightly smaller screens that have been converted to IMAX screens. And
well, this one says
a lot of
IMAX
them,
with like the copyright thing on it.
Well, a lot of them they reach the requirements by IMAX Corporation, but there are actually only 30, 70, and that's not one of them. Sorry.
Waterfront's not?
No. It is an IMAX theater, but it's not like, you know, when you see the pictures of like the Lincoln Square AMC, that's like there's only 30 of those screens. No.
Okay, New York trip. We love to talk
about
our New York trip.
It's on my bucket list to go there. Dan was like, I can't say what he does on the train, but he goes on the train and gets ready.
What the fuck could he possibly be on the train that you can't talk about?
Gets ready for the movie.
Oh, okay.
And then he goes and watches a movie at that.
That's epic. That's epic. That's bragging.
Caroline's dream afternoon.
No,
there's
literally.
A hint, everybody. There's a hint, everyone.
Wow. Okay.
Okay, my rotation is first, Glammy 88. You seen this girl?
Oh, I've seen
this queen?
Glammy.
Guys, let me just play one of her videos for you. I mean, like, I actually haven't been able to, like, physically contain how much I love her. Like, I don't know where to put, I never know who to send these videos to.
Wow.
Because she is, I mean, she makes me laugh in a way that is, she even just scrolling through.
I know.
She is
pick
so
one,
funny
bitch.
To find a good one. I need, like, getting ready with me.
So, with my big lip and my big eye, this is what I really feel that my eye looks like after I put makeup on. It's like putting makeup on an elephant eye. You think you're cute? That's what it looks like. And that's what it feels like. Love yous.
Love yous.
But just
is
one
she from
with
Boston?
Her hair. No, I think she's from New York.
We might go on looking like this. I got to go get water because we're on a water restriction. I think who I am. But look how this glows in the sun.
Yes.
She's a big Free People fan. She always does an outfit of the day and she'll say,
my future.
Free people's. Sam Edelman Heels. She always has these like Edna Mode glasses on.
Obsessed. Yes.
Dead. Anyway, so she's number one. She's actually why I texted Caroline and said, can we do rotations this week? Because that's where I realized I could finally put my love and appreciation for Glammy 88.
Glammy.
Next is my new comforter.
Whoa, I didn't even know you got one. It's like, I don't know you at all.
It's not my forever comforter. I'm still looking for.
I hope not, because by the way, guys, no comforter should be your forever comforter.
No, but I mean, like, it's not like, it might not be, like, I'm still looking for the one that I've been looking for, you know?
Yeah.
But I spilled coffee on my comforter. my white comforter, so.
Okay, was it honestly coffee? You can just say it.
What?
You had a brown stain on your white comforter. Was it actually coffee?
Yeah, Caroline.
How about that video you sent me of the girl whose pants were ripped in the butt and she was logging to work and then she put the picture and you could see a little crack? Oh my God.
And she told the story. She told the story so well.
Perfectly.
Anyway, so this is it.
Okay, love. Wait, love.
It's gingham. And then I got.
Wait, let me see that again. Where'd you get it?
Target.
I have that one on my bed right now, Phoebe. Wait, I literally have that on my bed right now.
And this is God's perfect timing.
And it's a great comforter, but it's also not our forever comforter.
Because there's a reason I didn't text you a picture of it at Target.
You thought I was going to go get it?
No. What I mean is this is God. God said it'll be so funny if Phoebe brings up her comforter tomorrow.
He was like, no, this is what we call Potter. Fodder for the pod. This is what we call fodder. I'm going to find a picture so I don't have to go take one.
That is so funny. Anyway, so I got this. I almost got this one.
Okay, cute.
But it didn't come with Shams. This one did. So I got that. Yes, and then I got these. You can kind of see. I got blue floral.
It looks great.
For my other pillows to match the blue pillows in the back of my bed. Let's text the family group chat and say, everybody send a picture of your bed.
Let's do it.
But you have to wait until someone else does it.
Okay, well, you go send the text.
This is so fucking funny. Anyway,
because I first saw it, I could see like the color scheme, but like the gingham didn't like register on the phone, like on the screen. And then when you said gingham, I was like, wait, show me that again. We're not so different, you and I.
That is so funny, especially because over Christmas I said, do I want vertical stripes or gingham for a comforter? And you said vertical stripes.
Well, we had this, like, honestly, it's like a crazy nice expensive duvet cover from Parachute. It's like linen, but it just, we're just like so sick of the duvet. Like, it's just so much
work.
Well,
that's part of the issue is, guys, mom and I were hunting for a vertical striped comforter for me because that's what I want so badly. But they're all, anything that looked like the way that I pictured the one that I wanted on my bed, they were all duvet covers.
Yeah.
And
I just, like, I'm not doing it.
No.
And so I was in Target and I saw that comforter and I was like, oh, that's actually really cute. And like, I'm so sick of this. Like, I'm just going to get this because it's not super expensive and it's cute and I'll get it for like the interim. It matches my stuff. But like, we're probably going to get a new one for the move. But
I've had the same comforter since I moved here.
Don't tell me. Don't even tell
me. Since I moved into this apartment. So it's a couple years old. Anyway, so it was time. And it feels a little bit more mature. It feels like it ties the place together a little bit more than my white comforter. And having having actual shams.
It's like pattern mixing is brave and it looks good. It pays off. The risk is worth the reward.
Thank you. So that is number two. And number three is Rocky from Project Hail Mary.
Okay. Well, I'll know what that means this evening.
You will. And you're going to fall in love.
With Rocky.
Ryan's going to be a little creeped out at first. But
this is your dream rotation, not your nightmare.
You're going to fall in love with him.
I'm excited. Cool.
He's such a little sweetheart. There's one line, and I'm not going to say it.
Don't spoil it.
But when you see it, I want to talk about it. It's like one of the, like, oh, he's just perfect. He's a perfect creature in this universe.
I love that. I'm excited. Okay, well, the way I just said I love that reminded me of Amanda Francis on Beverly Hills, which is another plug for the Patreon.
I thought you were going to say for my nightmare rotation.
No, she's actually not on there. I didn't really want to put a woman on right now. Just right now. But, you know, it's coming. Okay, the first thing is people who are rude when I ask you to take a picture of me and my friends. First of all, you're welcome. Like, I picked you, I hand-selected you out of a crowd because I said, I can tell this person does good work. Like, I trust this person, first of all, to hold my phone, maybe the most valuable thing I own. Second of all, to frame me in a way that I'm comfortable with, that I can work with at least, you know? And also to not be annoyed. I've picked you because I think you're an ally. I've picked you out of the crowd. I think this about you. So tell me why I'm at this movie premiere on Friday. And afterwards, Gabe comes out and it's me, Kelly, Anthony, and Gabe. And I'm like, oh my God, we got to get a picture, but we need the picture of the four of us. And not going to lie, the choices for me to ask were like my ex-boyfriends or one of these random gay guys standing on the street. Okay. And I was like, obviously my heart was pulling me towards the gay men, as it tends to do. And I was like, certainly these men are not going to have any problem. One of them was wearing one of the Schitt's Creek David sweaters. Like, I was like, I'm amongst friends, you know? So I go up to this guy and he kind of like, it was giving TJ from Southern Hospitality, and that should have been my first clue. I'm like, hey, would you mind taking a picture for us, please? And he's like, He doesn't say yes. He grunts in like, yes, I will. He's like, And he takes my phone, holds it at his navel. First mistake, second mistake, I guess. I was like, okay. Doesn't use a flash, it's nighttime. Doesn't like whatever, takes exactly three photos, and every single one of them is terrible. And they're all landscape. And I was just like, there's a marquee behind us, you idiot. Like, obviously, I was like, certainly, like, you know, sometimes someone will take a picture for you and then they'll be like, look at it. If you want me to take it again, I will. Like, those are the allies that I thought I was working with, that I thought I was approaching. I worked up the courage to approach you at an event. where I'm already off my game a little bit because I've had to look at my exes. And you are not nice to me when I ask you to take a picture of me, my friends, who, by the way, my friend that I'm taking the picture with was in the movie that you just watched. So it's a star. Mm-hmm. And you're going to act like a dick in front of a star? Okay, there goes any chance of you being in the sequel, babe. Like, good, you can kiss that goodbye if that was one of your dreams. I just thought it was rude, and I hate that. And it's happened to me not, like, only a handful of times, but God, does it put a bad taste in my mouth. Like,
yeah.
Don't be rude to me if I'm asked. If you don't want to take the picture, say no. Just say no.
For sure.
Or guess what? Just say yes and be friendly and nice.
Yes, that's really
like
what it is.
It's like 30 seconds of your life. And you could have made a new
positive
friend.
Human interaction is just stupid. Stupid, stupid, stupid.
I was like, okay, honestly, I can take one look at you and tell that your ChatGPT records are harrowing. So fuck you. That was just all I took away from that interaction afterwards. I was like, and you don't care about this planet. Like, you don't. Probably pay for ChatGPT because you have no personality. You've only been speaking to robots as of late, and I can tell. So anyway, I just think it's rude as fuck, and I hate that. And that's number one. So it's like that guy, but also like that just type of person.
Yeah,
next up on my nightmare rotation is dad talk as a whole.
Well, I thought you meant like general
dad's talking.
Not like,
no, not this week. No, dad talk as in the opposite of mom talk, as in Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. Specifically,
is
Jordan.
Is this sans Connor?
I don't even, literally, I wouldn't offend him by lumping him in with dad talk like that.
He's killing me. Did you see him do a magic trick in front of all the people at the stage door?
I did.
It's like,
really getting into magic. I love that Whitney's like, oh yeah, Connor's doing magic. Like, it's like not.
I like the way that like she looked over at that and was like so like beaming at him.
Yeah,
it wasn't like she was like rolling her. Like, it wasn't even like disparaging. She was like, that is so cute that they are asking him to do magic.
Well, and like how supportive. Like, and you know what? There's a part of me that's like, did he turn it up after filming this season of Mormon Wives because he knew it was gonna look like Zach was so unsupportive, and so did he turn up his social media support of Whitney in anticipation of this? But I still just think that's him. Like,
me too. I mean, when I fell in love with him when he painted himself green.
What a redemption arc, by the way.
I know,
remember
we
where
really
we
didn't
started
like him,
with him? He was cheating on her. He was on dating
did
apps.
Did forget about the cheating.
Literally, that was their whole plot.
But here we are. We've come so... And guys, he was cheating with women.
Yeah. Well, we think. And you know what? If it's a lavender marriage, good for them. They seem really happy.
I did see a tweet that was like, someone was like, I just love how much they love each other. And someone quote tweeted it and said, well, it's because they're both gay.
Well, let's just be clear about one thing. Connor Levitt is not included in my dad talk nightmare blunt rotation moment. But Zach Affleck, you're up there. Jason, you're up there. Jordan, I mean. Dakota, I don't know why you're here. Honestly, Mason too. Like, Chase isn't really, but like, just because Chase owns his shit. Chase is like, does all kinds of crazy shit, and then he's just like, yeah, I shouldn't have done that, that was bad of me.
How
and
are these
like,
people real?
Look how much accountability like matters to some people, but especially when there is none. Loved the moment of Michaela and Macy showing up in Blair and Serena costumes at the Halloween party. That was awesome. But honestly, I'm like so disgusted with Jace, and Michaela wouldn't like to hear me say this because the Toast girls were talking about how much they hate Jace, and Michaela commented and said, I hate this. But like, I'm sorry for me. You're leaving the wife, your wife, you're separating from the mother of your children because she can't have sex with you as much as you want, even though she just gave you a baby. Look at her. Look at her skin. Can you not tell that she's like in pain just from sitting up straight? And you're, like, mad that she won't let you be inside her?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Like, what a piece of shit. And not to mention the trauma she's gone through, also, like, at the hands of you. I'm pretty sure he was 23 when he got her pregnant at 16.
Yeah, he was old.
So, like, I'm just kind of, like, you can cry about it, or you can acknowledge how difficult it is for your wife to do the things that she needs to do to give you what you need. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's just, like...
And also, it only looks like
moment.
one of you is doing any sort of work to get to a better place.
Right. She's also postpartum. Like, give her a fucking break. I'm so over it. I hate Jordan.
Is he the short little one who looks like an elf?
Yes. He's Jesse's husband. Hate. Amazing how much I'm able to hate this man after his wife cheated on him publicly, and we all know. And I'm like, I fucking hate him.
And also, we don't even like her, really.
Yeah.
Right?
Or Mauricio. I don't like Mauricio. Or Mo. yeah, she cheated with Mo from Beverly Hills.
Wait, did you see Bo's on Watch What Happens where she was like, yeah, I get it. I get why Kyle's not like letting it go.
Yes, and it's true.
After she met, because I didn't realize they had never met before.
Yeah,
Bo's and Mauricio.
He's hot. Okay, so dad talking, the final thing is just packing, you guys. Like, and I don't mean packing for a trip. I mean packing a house. Well, I lived in this house for 5 years. Do you know how much shit we've accumulated? We got married in this house. There is so much stuff. I am never going to be done packing, ever. And I have so much shit happening in the next... I mean, I'm going to have to be. Exactly. By May 1st, I have to be. But, like, listen to this. Like, this week is tech week for Wizard of Oz. We're also having the big moment with the move. Next week is the continuation of tech week, opening week of Wizard of Oz.
And then you go to
Gibson's
Charleston.
Wedding. So I fly out on opening night. I fly out opening day to go to Gibson's.
So you're missing it?
Yeah. Missing all of opening weekend. Then I come back.
Oh, but there's another weekend.
Yeah, it runs for 3 weeks. Then I come back and we will, and also like work has been crazy, but that's a whole other thing. Then I come back and we are going to need to be, I'm actually really hoping that dad will paint while I'm gone. I'm like really hoping I can just like leave buckets of paint in the house, like a TV and like six pack of Shiner or more and like order him some pizza. And then you can just be alone in the house for a week painting.
Mm-hmm.
Because mom says he loves painting.
You'll need more than the six pack of Shiner.
I know. But like if I stock the fridge with that and then, because mom was like, well, I'm just waiting for my marching orders. And right now I'm like, I don't even know. Like, I don't want you to pack my
painting
house.
Is a good way to start. That's a great way to start.
Yeah. So I think if dad would do that while we're gone.
I think he would.
I think he would too. And that would like literally.
Get him like one of those those Dick's Sporting Goods chairs.
I'll get him everything he needs. And I will set him up in that house.
That's all he
needs. And I will say, enjoy your vacation in this house. And just paint. Because mom says he loves it, but he's the slowest painter ever because he's such a perfectionist. I'm like, perfect. That's exactly what I want. Yeah, correct. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that would be great. Then I come back. Then the dumpster will show up at our house so we can get everything out of our like garage, but like old furniture, whatever. Then the movers will come and then we'll be out. So like the next month is going to be a little bit insane, but it'll be good.
Well, hopefully it also like the rush of it gives you less time to be like super, like I would be like super emotional.
I am emotional, but I'm also like really excited about our house. So that's helpful. Like if we were like moving into a house I didn't love or I wasn't excited about, I would be having a really hard time with it. But right now, like I can't wait to be in that house. Like I'm like ready to be out of this fucking house, except for I'm really going to miss our neighbors, but... But it'll be okay.
But you're not moving too far. Five minutes away.
True. Okay, so that's that, guys. That's my nightmare rotation. That's the episode. Make sure you turn in. Make sure you tune in on Thursday. We are recapping season one, episode 13, lucky 13 of Gossip Girl called A Thin Line Between Chuck and Nate. Is that what it's called? Yeah. It's a good one. We're going to have a lot of fun with it. Go listen to that. If you want these episodes ad-free and with video, you know where to find them. They're on the Patreon. And if you want to hear what we think about TFP, the notorious TFP, head to our Patreon as well. Taylor Frankie Paul, hello. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. We love you and we will see you next week.
And splash.